Dr. Aishwarya Rao, and I am a pediatrician and public health consultant. And today on my show, Dr. Aishwarya Explains, we are looking at a couple of really heart-wrenching incidents that occurred in Chennai surrounding the death of two doctors that shook the public and the medical community over the past 1 week. Today, as we enter day 28 of the national lockdown, which is a preventive measure for the containment of the coronavirus pandemic in India, we have exceeded 17,000 positive cases and 560 deaths so far. We are nowhere near the peak, let alone flattening of the transmission curve. More healthcare workers and frontline workers are susceptible to the infection, and like in other countries, we are going to have our fair share too, in spite of our best efforts. We are looking at a long period of transmission ahead of us, along with a host of measures for its containment. It's a daily evolving and dynamic process, which the centre as well as each state government are doing as best as they can with the resources available and the existing health infrastructure. The key component here is the cooperation of the public at every step of the strategy utilised for outbreak control. Yesterday in Chennai, Dr. Simon Hercules died of the COVID-19 infection and a mob attacked the hearse and stopped the burial. A week earlier, an orthopedic surgeon from Nellore was treated at a Chennai city hospital also succumbed. Local residents had protested the cremating of the body in a city crematorium, fearing the virus may spread. Both incidents turned ugly very quickly, especially yesterday. The local residents resorted to violence, attacked the drivers of the ambulance which was carrying the dead body of the neurosurgeon. The body had to be abandoned in the middle of the road while the people accompanying it fled for their life. Later, a colleague of the deceased doctor came and drove the ambulance himself to another site of burial with police protection. He describes digging the pit himself with one shovel with the help of another policeman because the JCB that was prepared for the digging of the pit was abandoned by its operator, fearing the public fury. Much of yesterday in the news and on social media was filled with outrage by the medical fraternity and the general public at large for the lack of dignity accorded to the dead doctors in their death. And rightly so. The fury is understandable because the doctors acquired their infection during the discharge of their duties and in a sense sacrificed their life while offering healing to their patients. Similarly, there have been several cases reported of healthcare workers and police personnel on COVID-19 duty being attacked by angry mobs in Madhya Pradesh, Uttar Pradesh, Bihar and Bengaluru. I was immediately reminded of a similar incident from the front line of the war against another virus, the HIV, in which I was involved for nearly 15 years. In the early days of the epidemic, I have experienced hostility from neighborhoods whenever there was an AIDS-related death. Oftentimes, we had to intervene in the middle of the night whenever there was a death to avert mob violence. I remember one of my patients, a young woman with HIV who committed suicide. This was in 2002. The post-mortem took a long time and the body was handed over to us very late in the day, by which time the neighborhood of the T.P. Chatram burial ground created a ruckus. This is the very same burial ground which was the scene of the violence when Dr. Simon's body was first taken yesterday. Then thankfully it started raining heavily. It was the month of November and the crowds dispersed, much to our relief. So we buried the poor girl in the pouring rain in the dark of the night with my car headlights providing the light. We didn't want to put the other lights on in the ground fearing it would attract a mob. What an incident that was, and its memory is deeply ingrained in me. I also distinctly remember another incident, one of several, where an elderly Catholic nun running a community care center in a village in Thane district of Tamil Nadu had to bury a man who died of AIDS. She dug the pit herself with a shovel and spade because the villagers refused to assist. Of course, much of the stigma and discrimination surrounding HIV has decreased today and such incidents declined as treatment became more accessible and people with HIV began to live normal and productive lives. Coming back to the current situation in which the doctors were denied dignity in their death, in a tough note, the centre urged the states to take tough action against the mob attacking healthcare workers in COVID-19 duty. The Chennai police responded to the incident at the burial ground by arresting 20 persons who were in the mob who attacked the ambulance. But is that enough? What works when families are denied dignified death ceremonies of their loved ones because the locals falsely believed that the dead body could lead to the spread of the virus? The 10-page FAQ, the frequently asked questions by the Ministry of Health and Family Welfare on their now much visited website, covers a variety of myths and misconceptions with facts and explanations. But there is nothing on death of a person with COVID infection and the subsequent risk of infection spread at the time of burial or cremation or following that. There are at least 6 posters displayed on the website, but none are addressing this issue. Also, scanning the numerous public service messages that are circulating all over the television, radio, print and social media, there is nothing in India that addresses this specific fear. The Manual on Outbreak Communication, published by the World Health Organization in 2005, outlines the best practices for effective communication with the public during an outbreak with the least possible disruption to economies and society. This is evidence-based, field-tested communication guidance, and it has strategies that promote the public health goal of rapid outbreak control. The role of public communication during a pandemic cannot be understated. The 5 tenets of the communication are to build trust, announce early, be transparent, respect public concerns, and plan in advance. This communication strategy was put together largely drawing from the experiences culled from all the previous pandemics such as HIV, SARS, MERS, anthrax, and bovine spongiform encephalopathy outbreaks, to name a few. These are real lessons that were learned from the field and applied scientifically. We must acknowledge that the public have concerns that are diverse and legitimate, especially in this day of 24/7 news coverage, where everyone is bombarded with dread news about the pandemic and the havoc it is causing not only socially but also economically. Public health officials need to understand the fear of the public, regardless of how unscientific or unfounded they may seem. The information developing arm of the health department, both at the center and the state, need to engage in a dialogue in which those responsible for issuing information respect public concerns as legitimate, seek to understand their foundation, and then give out messages accordingly that are simple, clear, and full of facts. This risk communication is a two-way conversation. We cannot deny that there has been a failure of the government on providing timely messages to the public to allay their anxiety and concerns. The first cremation was obstructed 1 week back, and the same was repeated yesterday with even more violence. There is a recurring pattern here. Clearly, our messages continue to be about wash hands and social distancing only, even 2.5 months after the first case was reported in India, while there is a huge gap in the information provided to prevent tragedies like what happened yesterday at the burial ground. The interim guidelines issued by the WHO in late March this year on infection prevention and control for the safe management of a dead body in the context of COVID-19 is quite simple and clear. Dead bodies do not transmit disease. A dead person cannot sneeze or cough or breathe, so all ways of infection spread stops the moment a person dies. Viral replication also stops. Skin may contain viral particles, and therefore the body has to be neatly wrapped in cloth, and there is no need for a body bag. Only the healthcare workers preparing the dead body and the mortuary staff need to wear personal protection equipment. So long as there is no touch, there is 0% chance of infection spread. Burning or burying are both absolutely safe. The virus cannot climb up from the 8 feet deep pit. Neither can it survive the 4000 degree centigrade fire in the crematorium. Fumes don't carry the virus. These simple messages communicated to the public could have averted both the indignities to the precious doctors who laid their life while caring for their patients. The need of the hour is timely and simple information to the public, not police action and punishment. That never works. I am Dr. Aishwarya Rao, and this is me signing off until I can meet you again with my next podcast. Thanks for listening.